Welcome to the Culture Quarter with Adam Coleman. Adam Coleman owns and runs one of Ireland's only deliberately developmental organisations. At the time of launching HRLocker, Adam did not realise what a DDO was. But after having created his ideal company culture, a friend and consultant from a major firm in Ireland informed him that he had indeed just created one. Adam had crafted his ideal work culture for himself, his family and his employees at HRLocker. We at HRLocker have persuaded Adam to finally document and record his lessons learned so that he can inspire and guide other business leaders so that they can build their dream company culture. Welcome to the Culture Quarter with Adam Coleman. Is it important to have a strategy in place for employees, for their careers and of course their personal development?
Okay, let me answer that in a way that will make a lot of sense for most people, because I'm not a huge believer in the term strategy, okay? And the main reason for that is because strategies tend to be things that people think about and that they don't act on. And if we could sort of change the word from strategy to plan, if you don't mind, because the question should be, you know, is it important to have a plan in place for employees' careers and personal development rather than having a strategy? Because I find that companies talk about strategy as if it's one of those things that, you know, that I remember years ago, for instance, employing somebody as a graduate, and he said to me that he wanted to be involved in strategy. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, what is a strategy? So really what a strategy is a plan, right? So if we change the word from strategy to plan, it is important to have a plan in place for employees' careers and personal development, for sure. And it's important for a company to have a career path that the employee can see and be able to and is able to understand how they can develop and navigate their career path in the company, you know? Because all employees also have to take responsibility for their own career path and company. As we say in our own HRLocker MTP, our massive transformation purpose, is that, you know, we make life and work easier for both employers and employees, and we allow employees to take control over their own career in company, and beyond. So, like, the onus is on the employee to have a strategy, but the onus is on the employer to provide a plan of how they can enact that strategy. So that's really, really important. So the answer is, I suppose, is yes, it's important to have a plan and a visual plan in place where the employees can see where they can go if they apply themselves within the organization. I think, you know, nowadays there's been so much given to employees, they have to take responsibility for their own careers within companies as well. And one of the things would be during an interview process, which would be a classic interview question, would be, do you have a career path strategy or career path plan within the organization that I can see before I join? Mm-hmm. You know, when people start selecting software, for instance, they ask, you know, do you have a technology plan? Do you have, you know, a feature plan? Do you have, where are you going with as a company and all this sort of stuff? It's just as important for the employee to, when they're joining an organization, is that do you have a career path plan or a strategy in situ? How does it work? It's a very, very good question. You know what, that awkward time at the end of an interview when people say, do you have any further questions? There's a classic for you, you know?
Absolutely. What does HRLocker's career path look like?
Well, if you Google HRLocker career path structure, you can get a download of our career path for starters. Just as a start out, it's probably a good thing to do. So just go to Google and Google HRLocker career path structure, and it should come up. But what we do is we divide it into a number of areas. So when a person joins the organization at the very, very bottom of the ladder, we call it, right? They come in at stage one. By the time they get past the probation, they're firmly established on the structure. And normally the next step on the structure is aligned to how many years they're working within the business to become a senior, whatever it happens to be. You know, it could be a a senior developer, and it could be specified 3 years to become a senior developer or something like that. You know, it gives the company an opportunity to reward people as well, so they can say, "Do you know what? You've been working very, very hard as a software developer or an LDR, and we want to promote you to a senior LDR." And therefore, it gives the company an opportunity to reward them as well, to give them additional money at that stage. And it's up to the company to decide when they're eligible for that, really. That's really important. Mm-hmm. But what we do when we get to senior level, then we divide the career path structure into three. And we sort of break it into what we call team leader and manager stream, a commercial stream, and then a specialist stream. And when I talk about a specialist stream, it could be a specialist, it could be in HR practice, it could be a specialist in, database analysis, or it could be, or whatever, because it doesn't necessarily have to mean that they're going to be managing people. And when you divide it like this, it allows people to really focus on, do I want my career to go towards managing people? Do I want to go commercially? Or do I want to go down a technical specialist option? Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And we break that down on the management side. We break it down into team leader, manager, head of group, and eventually gets to director. And on the commercial side, we bring it in as sort of like, it could be an account manager, senior account manager, could be, I'm going to use the word strategic account manager, just to give you an idea. And then on the specialist side, it could be principal engineer, senior principal engineer, and what we call technical consultant, right? Mm-hmm. Now, on the specialist side, they may end up managing one or two people, but they don't go fully blown into managing people, if you understand me. So it also allows the organization to recruit against that career path structure. So let's say, for instance, HR Locker was looking for a senior technical architect or a technical architect. That would be most likely be at the top of the technical stream, reporting into the CTO. Okay. So there's a bit of work for companies to do on this, but a good start on where to start from would to have a look at the HR Locker one by just downloading HR Locker career path structure. There's huge different philosophies around this. And some people will decide not to go that route, that they'll go down purely a managerial route. But that's purely the choice of the organization.
Brilliant. And for those links that you mentioned, I'll obviously post those links in the description along with this podcast as well, so people can go direct. That leads on well to the next question then. How do you begin to implement a career or personal development plan in your business?
You set out really what you want. And there's lots and lots of methodologies out there. Some are more suitable in my mind than others. And it's very, very much down to your own opinion. What I would do start off is list the roles each team member can progress to. Or like if depending on the state of your organization, if you don't have one at the moment, list down all of the jobs in the business and separate them out on whether they're actually how you want to separate them out and put them into the little pods. And then basically show people like how they can get to that and specify out under each one. Like, for instance, entry level, you know, we'll say, you know, the next level would be starter level, maybe, you know, and it could be software engineer, for instance. And then software engineer might require 1 year's experience at trainee level or something like that. And then you have a senior one, which could be 3-4 years experience or whatever. Okay. And once you get that bottom tree sorted, you can do that across every single function within your business. Like, for instance, I've just described a software development one there. I can talk about, you know, LDR, senior LDR, then LDR team leader. You know, you might have on the commercial side, you might have an LDR responsible for the non-for-profit sector, right? And then you might have a person, a more senior LDR, which takes responsibility for 3 or 4 different speciality groupings. And then and then you could have business development, head of business development, you know what I mean? Which is basically focused solely on the research element. You could have another one on the direct sales role. You could have another one on the partner role. You could have another on, you know, it really, really depends, you know, and how you split up. But the important thing is in my view, is to split up into people management, commercial and technical. And when I say technical, I mean specialists. Like if you have a law firm, for instance, you know, you might, the person might be a GDPR specialist or something like that, or a commercial legal specialist, or a, you know, whatever the case, employment law specialist or something. So, you know, it's important to, depending on the organization, of how you do it. But in regards to a SaaS business, really straightforward. 1, 2, 3 levels. Then you have team leader, commercial, specialist. You might have, you know, manager at the next level. You might, at the next level of the commercial side, you could have account manager. And the next one, you could have, you know, principal. And then the top one is normally head of group, or sorry, it's normally head of group, and then basically, or whatever group you're talking about, it could be the sales, technical, or whatever. You could have head of revenue is another one, which is used commonly. And then you could have, you know, chief technical architect, if you know what I mean. So it really, really depends on the function, and depends on how you want to divide out the career path structures themselves.
So should the career path structures be seen as more than just a reporting mechanism then?
Oh, 100%. It's a huge mistake if you decide that it's a reporting mechanism. Because if it's a reporting mechanism, basically, on the basis of a reporting mechanism, you're doing one career path, which is to manage people. So, you know, that's probably the biggest mistake huge amount of people will make, because what will happen is they're more than likely going to lose some of their best people. Because if a really, really good sales guy realizes the only way he can progress is by becoming a manager, what's going to happen is you're going to lose your best sales guy and probably gain a not so good manager. It's a conscious decision for somebody from their own personal development perspective of whether they want to go down a managerial route, commercial route, or the specialist route. And they have to make, that's a huge decision, huge, huge decision. And so many tech firms mess up on this. It's not funny.
What do you find is the result usually of when a career path plan is done well? What's the result of the organization?
Well, it ends up in way better employee retention as people know where their career can go within the company. Simple as that. If you didn't have one in situ, if a person didn't feel that there was anywhere where to progress to, they couldn't even go and talk to you about it. They'd probably end up looking for jobs elsewhere because, oh, I want to become a team leader, but I don't see anything happening within the business of how I can do that. So how do I do it? You know, so, and people think they have that everybody, you know, if they get good at something, they have this inherent quality that they can manage people. They can't. It's a learned skill. You know, some people will innately do it better than others, but it's a learned skill. And I even came across it today where one of my team leaders basically and managers had somebody going out sick for the first time. And, oh, how do we handle it? I've just got a sick note in to say that, you know, he's not going to be here for a week. So what do I do, you know? So obviously legislation is going to dictate over the next number of years how many days sick leave that a company has to pay. And I think it's this year it's 3, you know? So really after 3 days, the person has to be made aware that they have to be able to claim sick benefit, you know, and how they do that. So that's not something that inherently a team leader will know, you know?
Yeah, true. Very true.
So obviously they get support from HR in that situation, or in HR locker, they get it from myself or Jennifer, who looks after our HR and payroll. So if there's any queries around that sort of stuff. So if, you know, that sort of stuff is really, really important.
Brilliant. So you've alluded to there, one of the downfalls, if you don't have this plan in place, being poor retention. Are there any other things that happen when a career path plan is neglected or is never done ever?
Well, if the assumption is that the only career path is to become a manager, you're not going to really progress the organization very, very well, because you wouldn't have even thought of what a manager is supposed to do. You know, so when you specify a career path structure, it should specify in each box what the person is responsible for, you know, and it can be generic enough to say, you know, you're responsible for team leading all of your people, which basically means insubordinate manager, but you but at the same time may have responsible for their reviews, you know. While a specialist role, you know, it may be where they take full responsibility around a particular tech area within the business and to become that focal point for that tech area. And they're continuing to learn and they might report in. It's interesting enough that you could have somebody on the technical side, two levels up on the technical side, reporting into a team leader, which is two levels down on the actual managerial side. That can happen. Mm-hmm. But providing that flexibility is massively important. But to be able to explain it to your employees of how it works is equally important.
Mm-hmm. So can a career path plan then be used not only to retain talent, but to attract talent? Does it separate you from your competitors out there hiring?
Oh, 100%. Like you take, I think we've hired a couple of graduates this year. Well, hired 5 or 6 graduates this year. And one or two of them in their induction told us basically one of the reasons they went with us was because there was a clear career path structure within the business. Now, we had to clarify that because the important thing as well is that, you know, just because the career path structure is there, you know, it's not as if the employee constantly applies, well, I want to be a senior engineer, or I want to be a senior LDR. You prove yourself to be a senior LDR and then you bring it up at your review. When do I become a senior LDR? I've been here 3 years. You know, how does that happen? So it allows the employee to take control over their own career and have those conversations with their manager or with their team leader. And if the team leader doesn't know, because everybody's learning, they go and they ask their manager and they can, like, we're in the middle of putting a wiki in place on this space, or an FAQs and HR locker, where when a person gets appointed to a team leader role, and we're dealing with two of them at the moment. And to be fair, a lot of this happens in organizations organically, but it does get to a point. The sooner you put these mechanisms in situ, the easier it is for people to navigate their way through the organization, and the more likely they are to stay in the organization longer because they feel that they've got a future there.
Brilliant. And do you find it's working in HR Locker since you implemented it for you, for HR Locker, and for the employees?
I first implemented this in a company I worked with, which went from 500 to 800 people in 3 years. And within that organization, I really, really saw the importance of this. So we've always had it in HR Locker. It's actually when somebody comes in and one of the onboarding documents that they sign is the career path structure, right? And it automatically opens them up to that. But saying that, by just them signing it means nothing. We still have to bring it up and say, right, okay, this is our career path structure. This is how it works. Even though it's all there in writing, you know, people, when they get enthusiastic about joining an organization, they almost accept everything without reading it sometimes. Because I know when somebody joins HR Locker, there's probably about 10 to 12 documents that they have to accept and read and accept. And we always join the induction program to bring them back to the career path structure and say, right, this is what it is. This is why it's there. If you haven't signed it, you need to sign it, but you need to understand it, of how it works and how you can interact with it, because it's really important. And it grows, and there's a constant need to constantly push it out and constantly bring it to the people. No different than it is in terms of when you're managing your business using principles. You need to constantly refer back to the principles, so people need to know that, oh my God, here's tools I can use to manage myself, my career, my behavior, and to really work really well with how the company works. You know, it's the onus is on both, because I think you have to be very, very careful when you're hiring new people and young people, because, you know, they haven't taught like this. So you have to teach them that these mechanisms are there for a reason, you know, and it's only when you go to an organization that doesn't have the mechanisms that you go, and if you come from one that has, you know, you go, oh my God, now I realize why they had that. They don't have it here. Why don't they have it here? And you might think, oh, well, that's no good because they've left your organization. But you'd be surprised how a positive impact it can have even when people leave the business and they realize, my God, maybe I made the wrong decision. Maybe I left the wrong company. I've moved into this company because they paid me $5,000 more, but I don't know where I'm going anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think all of these things are really important.
Brilliant. Adam, thanks for your time.
No worries. Thank you.